Shut the fuck up. We're all gonna die here. These are cops.
Oh, they're cops. Who gives a shit?
At least something I never told you about me. I hate fucking cops.
Go, five words. I have nothing to say. 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 You got that straight? Terrible Tommy here in the bunker right here on Tuesday morning. Yeah, on a nice day here in the Midwest. I think a little bit overcast, but I think there's some sun out there, but it's warm. It's going to get pretty hot this afternoon. Expected some rain tonight, but anyhow, it's sure as hell better than it was a month ago. It is May the 27th, 2014, and P.O. Box 401, don't forget that, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and our In the Bunker telephone number is 574-267-5036, and our big national number is 559-670-1473. Well, I hear that California is running out of water. I hear that, I heard? They had 6 months of water left in California? 6 months of water left? What the hell's going to happen? Well, I don't know what the Mexicans are going to do, because if they go back to Mexico City, they're going to be in trouble. Mexico City's 20 million people. 20 million people, and they're running out of water. Can you imagine what's going to happen when 20 million people get thirsty and there's no water around? Oh, boy. So, California people, you better start thinking things over and have a plan. And have a plan, because when you run out of water, people do crazy things. And it doesn't look like there's much water coming. So, anyhow. But that's the way all over. Those 7 states now are in severe drought. 7 states. I mean, that's a lot of territory. A lot of territory. And a lot of places are employing all kinds of restrictive uses of water. Now, what did I tell you 20 years ago, boys and girls? I hate to beat my own drum. But if you'll go back into radio shows and things I've written long time ago, I told you there's a water crisis coming. Just like that book I read back in the 60s called Famine 1975. Well, it came and passed, and there was famine all over the place, but not on a worldwide scale that this fellow predicted. But it is now coming. It's coming. Major famine everywhere. And so you better start figuring your contingency plans, boys and girls. So if you're going to move someplace to get out of the way of all this stuff, you better make sure there's water. Cool, clear water.
All day I face the barren waste without the taste of water. Old Dan and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water. Cool, clear water. The nights are cool and I'm a fool. Each star's a pool of water. Cool water. And with the dawn I'll wake and yawn and carry on to water. Cool, clear water. Keep a moving, Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for you and me? The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we pray for water, cool water. And way up there he'll hear our prayer and show us where there's water. Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for you and me?
Be hearing that song quite a bit, I think. Now, can you imagine what's going to happen in places like LA, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, or all the places back east? They're starting to hurt for water. Can you imagine what these masses of Untermenschen are going to be doing? What they're going to do? You know, you can go quite a while without food, but you can't go very long without water. And once it gets to a certain point, you'll do anything for water. That's right. So, think about that. Hopefully you got a river running around not too far from you, or maybe a creek not too far from you, or even better, a well, so you can get good clean water. Think about it. Well, there's been 191 carjackings in the last couple of months up there in Detroit City. It's Motor City for a different reason now. It's motor season, because you can't even turn off. You don't want to get out of your car at a gas station. You want to leave it run and stay in it. try to tip the guy to come over and fill your tank up. Because if you step out of that car in Detroit City, as Bobby Bear called it, Detroit City, you're liable to lose your car. Because that's the way the thieves are getting them now. But they tell me across the country that carjackers have learned that it's not too safe to try to pickup truck jack. Try to steal a pickup truck, especially one of those with a Confederate flag in the back window and maybe a gun rack. But even not, because more and more people who drive pickup trucks are also packing. And they'll shoot to kill you ass, nigga boy. Just remember that old saying, it's better to be tried by 12 than carried by 9, if you get my point. Well, now that all the falderall bullshit is over for this weekend, I was depressed the whole weekend. I really was. I get so sick of these phony bastards and all their parades and all their waving of flags and all their hero this and hero that. You know, I'll tell you, it's enough to gag a maggot. Really, it's really bad. And then you figure all these wars, we didn't have to be in them. None of these wars did we need to be in it, including the Great War, World War II. We didn't need to get into that. Oh, England might have been conquered. Well, England would still be there. England would probably still have her colonies. Yeah, so anyhow, we didn't have to have a civil war here either. That could have been avoided. But all these other wars, World War II, World War I, could have been avoided. We got into it. We willingly allowed our leaders to take us in there to a bloodbath and kill millions of people. Our country is responsible for killing millions of people, and we keep doing it. And I got a feeling the minute they get out of Afghanistan, they're going to figure out a new place where they can go kill people. Of course, always for a good cause, and always for the baby Jesus. Yeah, right. And the most patriotic of them all are the Republicans. I hate that word, patriotic, patriotism. Well, they say it's the first refuge of a scoundrel. That's first refuge for an asshole, really. That's what I think, too. Yeah. Yeah, and they, you know, for the last 15 years, the Republicans have voted down every veterans bill presented in Congress or the Senate. Every bill that was presented to help veterans, the Republicans voted it down. The Democrats tended to support them. So there you go, all you stupid lemming Republicans out there that think that Republican Party, they're the biggest liars that there is going, man, those Republicans. Now here about 50 miles from me, Fort Wayne, Indiana, I see the Republicans are trying to get rid of the collective bargaining for the union in the city. Yeah. They're going to move to privatize all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So anyhow, there you go. And leaving the workers to whatever sympathy they can get from the employers with no collective bargaining among the city employees. Hey, you know there's, 70,000 homeless in Washington, D.C. Now, you know that 99% of those are black people. And probably there's a lot more. The blacks have always gravitated to the center of the government, you know, the power, ever since Lincoln committed that war crime of setting them free. He should have kept them penned up down there until they could ship them all back over to Africa. That was the big mistake, because at least the plantations did have them all cornered and sort of locked up and fenced in, and then they could have transferred them over to the coast and on the ships and right out of the country. But you know how greed is. The big capitalists, greedy. As long as they can get a cheap labor or anything like that, they're not going to leave go of it. even to the point where these masses of Negroes and others will rise up with machetes and kill them in their beds. They'll take the chance for power and money. Well, I got an excited email from a Hitler worshiper yesterday that several so-called far-right parties are going to take over in the EU and different countries. Well, I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all. Now, I know everybody said, you're such a skeptic, Metzger. Yes, I am. And I think that I also adhere to the art of contrary thinking. Number one, we don't see eye to eye with a lot of these right-wing groups. We're not right-wing, or I'm not right-wing. I hope you're not right-wing. But a lot of these right-wing groups, we don't see eye to eye with, and I'm saying, even in the best situation, I'm afraid they're going down the wrong road again. I think they're going to try the same thing that failed last time. And I think that unless there can be some kind of a merger of a brain trust between the working class left and right over some kind of an agreement of a European socialist setup or something like that, it'll all go down the tube again, because it'll get into inter-country warfare and nationalism. And in some cases, nationalism's nice, but I'm afraid nationalism has really beat the hell out of the white race in Europe. It has for a couple of hundred years at least. But in the meantime, we've got to pedal our own boat here in the United States, and we don't have much control or any control over what goes on over there. Now, there's a right wing in this country go gaga over Le Pen and these people, and Marie Le Pen, but guy was going on about Le Pen having an election victory, and I said to him, I said, well, wait a minute. I read where Marie Le Pen was recruiting WOGs, even to run for office, non-whites. So what does that tell you? If they're doing it now, what are they going to do later? All political parties tend to become corrupt, if not in the beginning, as they go on. And I don't trust any of these right. I don't trust the Le Pen's people. I don't trust the BP and BNP and all that in England. I don't trust any of these organizations. I think we need new politics in Europe, and I don't think it's going to be those people. In other words, I think all this right-wing fall-for-all is nothing but false flag, of which there's a hell of a lot of right-wingers going to disagree with me, but I think it is all designed as a false flag. Had a big demonstration over in France, several hundred people, including representatives of France's Jewish community and politicians, gathered Sunday evening in Paris to honor the victims of the shootings at the Jewish Museum in Brussels and express their anger at growing violence towards Jews in Europe. You know, this is just like hanging red meat before a ravenous bear. This kind of stuff, this is going to draw out more and more Islamic violence against Jews. You wait and see. Because whenever something like this is committed, whether it's by Islamics or not, it's going to give them much more boldness to do more. You wait and see. Well, the Hebrews are upset this morning with, guess who? Pink Floyd. Yeah. Listen to what the rabbis got to say about Pink Floyd. I've read some heavy-duty attacks on Israel and the Jews in my time, but they pale beside the anti-Jewish diatribe recently offered by Roger Waters, co-founder and former frontman for the legendary British rock band Pink Floyd. In an interview with Counterpunch online magazine, Waters experienced a shocking, Jew-baiting, colonic. Yeah, wait a minute here. According to Waters, Israel is a racist apartheid regime that practices ethnic cleansing. A great artist such as himself will not play in a country equivalent to Vichy government in occupied France. Likening Jews to Nazi collaborators was not enough. Waters then went further, comparing Israel to the Nazis themselves. Quote, I would not have played in Berlin either during the Second World War, unquote. Waters believes that Israel is guilty of genocide. Only this time it's the Palestinian people being murdered. Wow. Waters was on a roll. Let me see, get this over here, yeah. Israel is a brutal and oppressive regime, and the rabbis, oh, those murderous racist rabbis, the right-wing rabbinate, are so bizarre. They believe that everybody that is not a Jew is only on earth to serve them and the indigenous people of the region that they kick off the land in 1948, since they're subhuman. The parallels with what went on in the 30s in Germany is so crushingly obvious. Wow. The Jews are dumping huge bucket of crap that they're pouring into the mouth of gullible public. In my view, when they say we are afraid of Iran, it's going to get nuclear weapons, it's a diversionary tactic. I could go on quoting Waters' interview, but I'm getting nauseated just writing this stuff and must rush to the holy wall to pray. Suffice it is to say, he claims he was offered $10 million by a Jewish promoter to play in Israel, but retorted, are you fucking deaf or just dumb? I am part of the BDS movement and I'm not going anywhere in Israel for any money. He then tried to dissuade Cyndi Lauper from playing in Israel. Given this interview, I would assume that not too many Israelis will lament losing the chance to see Pink Floyd reunion in Israel, and maybe we should just leave it at that. But even loathsome, stomach-turning anti-Jewish Judaism deserves a response, in case gullible fans might actually believe this twisted twaddle. Well, we're not going to listen to his response, and I'll tell you why. They never listen to ours, so screw the rabbi. If you want to look up the whole article, you can go to the New York Observer under the culture section. Right. Let's see, what's the date? I'm not sure. I don't see the date on this. Anyhow, it's in the New York Observer under culture section. Well, let's hear what Bill Maher has to say about it, the comedian on the Larry King Show. Sorry, boys and girls, I lost that Bill Maher clip. Yeah, I did. But essentially, he said that he only supported Israel part way, not against the Iranians, unless the Iranians did something crazy. So, for a guy like him, that's not bad. He did a fairly decent job, not hardcore like us. Well, this is a warning, which we say almost every day. Run silent, run deep. Lone wolf. Choose your friends carefully. Associates, don't worry too much about them, but don't let them come around your house all the time. Stay away from some of their parties unless you can keep your mouth shut. Anyhow, federal prosecutors are seeking to greatly reduce the prison sentence of a prominent computer hacker they say is responsible for helping stop at least 300 cyber attacks of government and military installations and for bringing deeper insight into the global hacking collective Anonymous. Another rat. The minute he got caught, he spilled the beans on everybody he knew. And that's what, pardon me for saying so, but most all people in the right wing do that all the time. Whenever they're caught, they spill the beans. So you can't run with people like that. Hector Xavier Monsiger will be sentenced Tuesday in federal district court in Manhattan on a series of charges including identity theft, computer hacking, and fraud. They probably had a whole bunch of other things stacked on there to get him to plead out. He was arrested in June 2011 and pleaded guilty in exchange for cooperating with the topic Federal Bureau of Investigation, CSMonitor.com, which is their snitch line, I guess. Although he faces between 21 and 26 years, they always throw that at you, in prison, federal prosecutors say in court documents he was extremely valuable. I'll bet he was, and productive and productive cooperator. Oh, he just poured his guts out on all his friends and should only be sentenced to the 7 months he's already served. See? That's the way it goes. Happens all the time. Let's see here. There's more to this story. Mr. Munsinger was the principal behind LuizSec, L-U-I-Z-S-E-C, an offshoot collective of Anonymous that targeted media companies, Fox Entertainment, Nintendo, Sony Pictures, among others. He engaged on a global hacking spree that resulted in the public release of stolen data. My question is this: does he hurt us, or does he hurt the system? I mean, did he? I say he hurt the system. There's very little he can do to us. You know, sure, they can hack you once in a while, something like that, but they're not getting much red meat. So, fine. We have no axe to grind with hackers. Munsinger, who used the online name of Sabu, started working with law enforcement immediately following his arrest. They didn't have to beat him with a telephone book, I'll bet you. According to court documents, he provided real-time information that helped the government, ZOG, prevent planned attacks and expose many of the key players involved in Anonymous, as well as LuizSec and Internet Feds, another splinter group. Working sometimes literally around the clock at the direction of law enforcement. Oh, he was a good little system lover. No, he just wanted to save his ass like Tom Martinez did with the order. He couldn't wait to rat out to rat out the order fellows. And don't forget, he's still around, and I haven't forgotten, and I hope you haven't forgotten, Thomas Martinez. Okay, Munsinger engaged his co-conspirators in online chats, that were critical to confirming their identities and whereabouts. You get that? Online chats and chat boards confirming their identities and whereabouts, prosecutors said. Well, the people he was talking to were almost as bad as him, because they were stupid enough to believe that if they really put the heat on somebody, they wouldn't rat them out. During some of the online chats at the direction of law enforcement, Munsinger convinced LuizSec members to provide him digital evidence of hacking activities they claimed to have previously engaged in, such as logs regarding particular criminal hacks. What's stupid? These people are not, they're stupid. Oh, yeah, prove to me you hacked. Prove to me, show me your logs. Shit.
Here it is. Does that make you happy?
Eight arrests in the U.S. and Europe are connected to Munsinger's efforts, prosecutors say. Targets of the groups include federal courts and the U.S. House and the Senate. Whoa! I like it. NASA, the U.S. military, many private companies and foreign governments, particularly Iran, Pakistan, Turkey, and Brazil. Well, I don't know what that's all about, but... And our lone wolf contributor of that story says, your comrade from today just might be the informant who sends you to jail or prison tomorrow. And if that ain't Detroit, I'll tell you. But if you know any hackers out there,
better tell them to learn 14 or five words, you know. I'm going to tell them to keep their mouth shut and stay, quit chatting. Man, all this stuff. I watch, you know, I don't give it much time, but once in a while I look at a chat board and see all the bullshit people are putting on there. And thinking, I guess they think they're private, but the chat boards, no matter how many secret names you use, it can be found out who you are. So, anyhow. But, like I said in a previous thing I sent out, I think it was on this, let the right wing step on all the landmines, system landmines. They want to be the, what do you call it? The, if they want to serve as cannon fodder and they don't seem to have enough intelligence not to, well, let them do it. The more they follow them around, the less they'll look at us or me. That's the only one I can speak for. Me. I don't know anybody else. Well, sometimes I have to get my information from areas that are not exactly or totally trustworthy, but sometimes I can read between the lines, and these are the lines coming out of Europe. The British National Party has been wiped out in the European elections, despite a surge of support for far-right parties across the continent. Party leader Nick Griffin lost his seat representing the northwest of England. Mr. Griffin vowed that the party would be back and support for UKIP, which topped the polls, would crumble as people realized they could not deliver. Well, you see, what's happened was that if Griffin was doing fairly well, they put up another phony group, this UKIP, to undercut. This is just like if a third party in this country comes up with great ideas, the major party comes along, adopts all those ideas, and runs on them until they get in office, and then they throw them overboard. It's as old as the hills. Ahead of the election count, anti-BNP demonstrators clashed with police outside Manchester Downtown Hall. BNP finished with a 1.14% of the votes, down from more than 6% in the last European election in 2009. Well, I think that's because you're not doing the job at home. You're playing politics at home. You got to put the brass knuckles on, politically speaking. You're not representing white people hard enough. The result 5 years ago saw the BNP win two seats in the European Parliament for the first time, as well as three local council seats in Lancashire, Leicester, and Hertfordshire, respectively. It already had been reduced to one European seat after Andrew Bronze, who was elected as a BNP MEP for Yorkshire, and the Humber in 2009 left the party and became an independent. You see how these things disintegrate. I've been through this over and over again, ever since the 60s. This time around, the BNP lost its deposits in each of the nine English regions and Wales where it stood after it got less than 2.5% of the vote. Now see, there's an almost all-white area of England they can't even get a majority of the votes, you see. If you expect the brainwashed idiots out there to thrust you into power democratically at a voting box, because they're scared shitless. I mean, all they have to do is call you a neo-Nazi and you're through. Unless you're a real National Socialist and stood up and kicked ass, politically and ideologically. It got fewer votes than an independence from Europe, an anti-EU party only set up in November. As they arrived at the count in Manchester, Mr. Griffin had to dodge missiles, including placards that were thrown at him from protesters chanting "Nazi scum." Well, a lot of these were these super left-wing progressive race-mixing bastards they'll always throw stuff at you. A number of scuffles broke out between the protesters and the police. Following the announcement of the election result, newly elected Labor MEP Teresa Griffin said, "No longer can a racist, fascist party claim to represent the interests of the people of the Northwest." Well, this is why I say it can't be the old right-wing approach, baby. You got to go back to the early days of National Socialism and start building back up, where you build on the working class and the outs of the white race and so forth. And because too many people around the world see the so-called Nazis as just part of the ruling class. And as long as you're seen as that, you're never going to get anywhere. Can you imagine how much money was spent last time getting 6% of the vote for BNP and now only getting 1.1%? Imagine how much money that cost. They could have gone out and handed money out on the street and just said, "Here's $5, vote for me," and probably cost them less money. Like I said in the bulletin or information I sent to you about this EU campaign elections all over Europe, when the vote gets to 20% from any one of these parties, wake me up, because that's when the ruling class hammer will fall. Meanwhile, don't bother me. Well, Stray Dog and I got our schedule mixed. I mean, it was me, really. I called the wrong number. But anyhow, Stray Dog sent me some words of he wanted us to know about. Here's what he says. "Like men on the front lines, pass the word," seems like. "White supremacist means superior genes. The Jews want you to share your genes with mud people. We racists won't share, and that pisses the Jews off." John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and three progressions of dominant white men in the movies. Or Tommy says at least they appeared dominant on the screen. Question, who is the current white actor role model? It might be better that there is none. Strong leader. Leader, weak heart, weak worker. I don't quite get that, but anyhow. Well, maybe, let's see. Let me think. Animals can sense a storm or earthquake approaching by feeling the barometer change. You should learn that feeling, too, as it helps in the field. Well, if you listen well, you'll feel it. The mud people, like rats, have reached their apex point in the Americas, as shown by the most recent census data. What will the nigger lovers latch on to now, huh, Bill Clinton? The white man and white woman feel the need to organize and collect the world around them. This manifests itself in thousands upon thousands of collections. Cat hoarding has been in the news recently. Always showing whites, usually elderly white women, collecting hundreds of cats. The nigger doesn't collect anything but a welfare check, so it is a white thing. Get those little old white ladies collecting landmines instead of cats, and we'll do all right. A nigger recently called in a 21 bomb threats at his place of employment. His excuse? He wanted to get out of work. Comment about resist.com. Make resist.com more the Drudger report, where links are provided in one-page format. Every link would show an article of race in newspapers from around the globe, showing race is one of the determining factors and one of the unifying factors that supersedes all other factors. Al Jazeera's America had an interesting article on the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, middle-class population. They said all the working blacks are employed by the government, something we suspected already. They bemoaned the income disparity between white and nigger middle class. This has been your Stray Dog Report, reporting from New Germany, Earth and Stoneworks, Children of the SS. Well, those suggestions are well taken for Resist.com. Now, who's going to do it? I mean, we've got basically we're all volunteer, and everybody works a regular job. I mean, I don't work a regular job, pretty well retired, but I'm not a computer expert. So unless you can get other people that want to help with that project, it's not going to get done because we can't. See, Drudge has got a big staff, and he takes in money, too. But it's not all money, that's for sure. But you got to understand, it takes a lot of time and a lot of people to do the kind of thing you're talking about. So if we had all kinds of volunteers, like the ones that waste their time in the right-wing bullshit, we'd be on our way. But we don't. So that's it. Until that time comes, we'll do the best we can. I think we cover a lot of important information on this radio show and some of the stuff I send out to the radio club. Now, one way to do it is get more and more people subscribing to the radio club. If we had enough people subscribing to the radio club at a certain point, we could say either put the donation way down or eliminate it. But there's no way we can do it at the present time. Let's face it, most people who talk about the race thing are talking out of both sides of their mouth. They do a little bit, they talk a little bit, but in their daily life, what do? I mean, there's so many things you can do as an individual, as a lone wolf, without going to jail, but they're still not doing it. So how can you get a crew to do a Drudge type resist.com when you can't even get people to put up stickers or something like that? You ever notice how they, every time somebody goes out and shoots a bunch of people or bombs some people or whatever, that everybody goes crazy trying to pin it on the right or the left or the middle or or whatever? My suggestion is don't respond to it. Don't respond to it at all. Say, I have nothing to say. Or just say, really piss them off and say, I don't care. But I see the right wing and the left wing do this all the time. They can't wait to find a sticker in a guy's apartment that may have a swastika on it, or a sticker in an apartment that's got some kind of red symbol on it or something like race mixing symbol. Oh, we knew it all the time, you see. That's playing the system game. Say, if you're not responsible for it, you don't have to apologize for anything. An individual does what an individual does. That's it. And if they come around asking you, what do you think? Say, I don't really think about it at all. I saw it happen, but if you expect me to cry crocodile tears, I can't because I don't even know the particulars, I don't know the facts, I don't know the evidence, and I don't know the people involved.
Well, this is my last video. It all has to come to this. Tomorrow is the day of retribution. The day in which I will have my revenge against humanity. Against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I've hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires, all because girls have never been attractive to me. Girls gave their affection and sex and love to other men, but never to me. I'm 22 years old and still a virgin. I've never even kissed a girl. I've been through college for 2.5 years, more than that, actually. And I'm still a virgin. It has been very torturous. College is the time when everyone experiences those things such as sex and fun and pleasure. But in those years, I've had to rot in loneliness. It's not fair. You girls have never been attracted to me. I don't know why you girls aren't attracted to me, but I will punish you all for it. It's an injustice, a crime, because I don't know what you don't see in me. I'm the perfect guy. And yet you throw yourselves at all these obnoxious men instead of me, the supreme gentleman. I will punish all of you for it. On the day of retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down upon me as an inferior man if I ever made a sexual advance towards them. While they throw themselves at these obnoxious brutes, I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. You will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one, the true alpha male. Yes. After I've annihilated every single girl in the sorority house, I'll take to the streets of Isla Vista and slay every single person I see there. All those popular kids who live such lives of hedonistic pleasure while I've had to rot in loneliness for all these years. They've all looked down upon me every time I tried to go out and join them. They've all treated me like a mouse. But now, I will be a god compared to you. You will all be animals. You are animals, and I will slaughter you like animals. And I'll be a god, exacting my retribution. And all those who deserve it. And you do deserve it. Just for the crime of living a better life than me. All you popular kids. You've never accepted me. Now you'll all pay for it. And girls, all I've ever wanted was to love you. And to be loved by you. I've wanted a girlfriend. I wanted sex. I wanted love, affection, adoration. But you think I'm unworthy of it. That's a crime that can never be forgiven. If I can't have you, girls, I will destroy you. You denied me a happy life. And in turn, I will deny all of you life. It's only fair. I hate all of you. Humanity is a disgusting, wretched, depraved species. If I had it in my power, I would stop at nothing to reduce every single one of you to mountains of skulls and rivers of blood. And rightfully so. You deserve to be annihilated. And I'll give that to you. You never showed me any mercy, and so I will show you none. You forced me to suffer all my life, and now I'll make you all suffer. I've waited a long time for this. I'll give you exactly what you deserve, all of you, all you girls who rejected me and looked down upon me and you know, treated me like scum while you gave yourselves to other men. And all of you men, for living a better life than me, all of you sexually active men, I hate you. I hate all of you. I can't wait to give you exactly what you deserve. Utter annihilation.
Well, that's what Roger said before he went out and started blowing people away and knifing people up in Isla Vista. This Isla Vista must be something in the water. We had two of these type things happen up there over the years. And then remember when they blew up the Bank of America in Isla Vista, the anti-war people, which I thought was pretty cool myself. So you see the problem going on with these young white males. They look around and they accurately see that these women throw themselves into the arms of these brutes, most of the time niggers or just jocks and stuff like that. But he doesn't realize, most young guys don't realize, the more you chase women, the fewer you get. I learned that when I was 18 in the Army. The less you chase them, the more you get. But remember, man fights first for territory. Then he gets the women. That's the secret. Robert Audrey's book, Territorial Imperative. Everybody used to think that in the animal world, the animals went for sex was their main drive. Well, sex was a drive, but it wasn't their main drive. Their main drive was having their own hunting ground, their own space. And then after that, they didn't have any problem getting the sex. I feel sorry for guys like this, because if he'd have been caught early enough, he could have been guided in a better way. And also, this thing of wanting to be in the group. We need people who don't need to be in the group. I never was a groupy kind of guy. And I never, even when I was in a group, I didn't feel groupy. I think young guys like that need to look at these people and say, well, I don't have anything to do with these people. They're not worthy of me, and I'll go my way and do my thing. I don't need them. Why do I need all these superficial women and stuff like that? I mean, you know, and to be the true lone wolf. And we got a lot of them out there. And they're not sitting around in the corner sucking their thumb, worrying about they're not getting women. Because in reality, there's not many lone wolves that I know that don't have a problem. They don't have a problem getting women. Because there's still a lot of white women that are attracted to lone wolf types. Look at the motorcycle guys. I mean, you know, go down the freeway, go down the highway in the summer with these Harleys, and you see some guy who's basically homely and fat and pot gut and everything else. He's got a beautiful blonde on the back of the bike. That's a symbol for you, right? That's telling you something of what many women really want. And I don't mean necessarily just a motorcycle ride, but I mean kind of guys at least give the image that they can take care of themselves and they don't need anybody and they're somewhat anti-system and so forth. So this kind of problem's going to, well, I don't know whether it's a problem or not, but this kind of situation is going to keep happening more and more in this country. And it's going to be more and more white males. And but they're not all going to just waste themselves on nonsensical violence. Because if we could have turned Roger's passion into the race issue with a heavy understanding of what it's all about, not right-wing reactionary type and like that, he would have made a good soldier. I understand his father was wealthy, had in the movies and so forth like that. He had all the possibilities and the finances that he could have been a big asset to us, but he was lost. And there's going to be a lot more of them lost before this is over.
Finally, on Fox Carolina, this blog post has created a lot of buzz on social media. It's promoting the first ever KKK jam in Abbeville County. We've heard from a lot of viewers who say they're concerned about this event. So we've been looking into the KKK jam, trying to get answers from community leaders, many of whom didn't know much about it or referred us to the sheriff's office.
But earlier tonight, I actually got in touch with the man behind the entire event. We know the Klan isn't media friendly, so what did this guy have to say? Well, Charles Murray, who also goes by Chuck, only agreed to talk to me by email so he could copy our conversation. Murray claimed from past experiences the media will edit and show only what they want to show. Tonight, I did pick portions of his answers to show on air, but I will put them in their entirety on FoxCarolina.com after this newscast. Now, as far as the KKK jam goes, Murray says it's his Klan's first official national meeting. This is Charles Murray. He says he's the Imperial Wizard of the New Empire Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan group was formed last February. Its national headquarters is based in Abbeville, where Murray lives. It's this post made by Murray, advertising the Klan's upcoming KKK jam that has sparked controversy. It's in July, and according to a flyer for the event, it will have, quote, live music, Sunday church service, food, and Sunday night cross lighting, end quote. I asked Murray by email why they're having this event. He answered, quote, the event is our first official national meeting. We knight new members who have reached knighthood and promote knights to higher ranks who have worked hard for us. We have food, fellowship, and music, among other things, end quote. He wouldn't tell me where the event is being held, but says it's not open to the public. Murray said, quote, the event is on private property I own. The media, like you, enjoys exposing people. I have school teachers, doctors, and law enforcement as members. I do everything I can to grant my members their safety, end quote. I also wanted to know why the New Empire Knights created their own Klan. He wrote in part, quote, like me, others were sick of these fake Klan groups made up of skinheads, jobless slobs, and criminals. We wanted a real Klan group made up of white Christians, end quote. And finally, I brought up the fact a lot of people in Abbeville are concerned about the negativity this event might bring on their community. His response, quote, the event is held on private property, and my members have done nothing to harass or scare these people. Our group clothes and money to numerous charity groups in Abbeville. Feeding the hungry, giving clothes to the poor, and helping those in need of all races is bringing negativity to Abbeville? If so, maybe I should find a new home, end quote. Now, the county coordinator referred me to the sheriff for comment. Sheriff Watson has not returned my phone call, and he left his office by the time our crew showed up. I did request a one-on-one interview on camera with Charles Murray, but he's not responded to that specific request as of tonight.
Well, there you go. Should I comment? You know what my comment would be. More of the crap. Just more crap. Yeah, even bringing the Christian angle. You're a white Christian. If you're not a white Christian, stay away. Well, what if you're a white pagan? What if you're a white atheist? What if you're a white whatever? You believe in the white race. Not invited. It's amazing that these people haven't figured the day of the Klan is over. It's been over for a long time. Been over from at least the early 80s, mid-80s. But like Bob Miles says, they just won't bring themselves to burying it.
Move over, Oprah. Jesse the Body Ventura gets his own book club. That's today on Off the Grid. Introducing the very first Jesse Ventura Book of the Month. You've got to bring an open mind because I'm not going to be talking about your typical books. There will be no discussion on The Great Gatsby here. Today, for our very first selection, I'm highlighting a very important series. It's called Whitewash, and it was written and compiled by an investigative journalist named Harold Weisberg. Let's go to our off-the-grid command center where my vigilant producer, Alex Logan, is going to start us off. Alex, Whitewash.
Well, before we get into Whitewash, first I want to ask you, why did you start your own book club, Governor?
Well, because I think that people need to start reading a lot more. They watch far too much TV in the world. Everybody should read at least one book a month.
Why is the Whitewash series so important?
Harold Weisberg wrote this book 1 year after the Warren Commission came out with their 26th volume. Harold, you might say, how could he do this? He worked for as an investigator for the Senate Committee on Civil Liberties, and he also was an analyst for the Office of Strategic Services in World War II. That's the CIA before it became the CIA, and Harold was an analyst. All the information came in, and it was Harold's job to analyze it. He took the 26 volumes of the Warren Commission, analyzed it in his mind, and came out with this book called Whitewash. 1 year later, he took it to 112 independent publishers, and they said this is an instant New York Times number one bestseller, and yet all 112 turned it down. So Harold had to self-publish it. You're reading it just the way Harold wrote it, but it's an extremely important book. Harold shows completely that in the book that the Warren Commission had no desire whatsoever to learn the truth about who killed John F. Kennedy. They were there simply to rubber stamp the official story that Lee Harvey Oswald did it all and that there was no conspiracy.
And when did you first hear about this series?
I heard about it a number of years ago. As you start studying the Kennedy killing, the name Harold Weisberg will come up predominantly. He writes his books totally on the Warren Commission's own facts, their own data. Did you know, and you'll learn this in the book, and I don't want to wreck everything for everybody, but you'll find out the Warren Commission never actually looked at an x-ray or a photograph. All they looked at were drawings provided to them by the Secret Service.
So what did Weisberg hit upon that was so controversial about this story?
Well, what's controversial about it is it runs right in the face of the government's official Warren Commission report. Weisberg shows you clearly Lee Harvey Oswald was not the sole assassin. He shows you clearly with their own documents. They never investigated anything that led anywhere but to Oswald. If they had information that there was a conspiracy and more people involved, they ignored it. They had their man, Lee Harvey Oswald, and the Warren Commission was there to design. They didn't investigate it. They were there simply to rubber stamp the government's official story. How powerful is it when 112 publishers turn down a book for fear of the government and the wrath of the government? You're talking, none of them said, you know, this is a New York Times bestseller. Look at the money we'll make. But instead, everyone turned him down because it was too controversial. That shows you why the Kennedy assassination is so important. And Harold makes this great point, and I've made it for years, and I was so happy to read that a man like him did it before me. If Oswald's who he said he was, why would anything need to be locked up for 75 years because of national security? If he was this lone nut who became Marxist-Leninist and decide to murder the president, acted completely alone, why would the government have to lock anything up if the story was true? Did you know that today you can't even get Lee Harvey Oswald's tax return? Now, people may say, why is that important? I'll tell you why. He has to file where he earned money. That would leave a paper trail. If that money led back to a government organization, like, say, the FBI, the CIA, wouldn't that change the whole story then? Yes, it would. There's your point right there. Why? If the story's true, they wouldn't have to cover it up. Whitewash. Harold Weisberg. All you young people out there on the internet, I encourage you, get this book, sit down and read it. You'll be glad you did in the end.
And last question, what does Whitewash say that other books haven't? I know you're well-versed on this subject.
Harold doesn't venture off. Harold goes strictly on Warren Commission documents. He indicts them on their own information, their own report, everything. Where a lot of authors will speculate, Harold Weisberg does not do that. He lets them hang themselves with their own documents. Thanks for joining me on our first edition of the Jesse Ventura Book Club.
Sorry, boys and girls, I'm not impressed.
Number one, John F. Kennedy was the prime mover behind the Civil Wrongs Bill that's really screwed up this country big time. He started it. He was the big pusher. And then Johnson took it over and used it. Johnson, the biggest hypocrite and warmonger in the world. But anyhow, Jesse, so what? Nobody's going to do anything about it. Probably most of the people who, anybody who's involved in it, is dead. I personally don't think Lee Harvey Oswald was a Marxist-Leninist. I think he was playing a game. I think he was on the payroll of the FBI, but I don't think that he shot Kennedy, but that's just my opinion. Anyhow, this kind of stuff is sensational, but nothing ever happens. They write books about 9/11, but nothing ever happens. They have exposés on about everything, but nothing ever happens. Nobody ever goes to jail, so why worry your pretty little head over it? They're going to keep it secret until the end of time, just like Lincoln assassination. Everything didn't come out on that either. So, anyhow, Jesse, I like some of your stuff. I think you're a pretty good guy, but I think you can be fooled. That's it for today from Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here on Tuesday, May the 27th, 2014, P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day. In the meantime, Run Silent, Run Deep. It's a great movie if you've never seen it, about submarine World War II. Yeah. Run Silent, Run Deep. He who travels fastest travels alone. It doesn't mean you can't have associations. You just put them in different boxes and keep them in different spots. Shut up. Before I get on out of here, I'm going to play a tune for you dedicated to our luckless Romeo up there in Isla Vista, California. We'll be right back.
I hate myself and it's all your fault. I hate myself and I ought to not. I hate myself, it's so sad but true, cause I hate myself while I should be hating you. Well, I walk by myself in the evening rain. I talk to myself till I go insane. I think to myself, what did I do? I'm blind by myself while I should be lying with you. Was I lying with you when I swore that I loved you? Did you lie to me too?